This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
Chapter 1, R2-D2 Motorboats Bambi's Mom. Ho! Be deeper, beep bleeper, bleep bleep. R2-D2 screamed.
Coming to the Mayerhof for 37 weeks only. This summer, Night Horse Media brings you the sensational, groundbreaking new performance piece that is taking the world by storm. Cirque du Fanfiction. Mouthword Mysterio. This tantalizing spectacle will titillate all your sensory organs. You will be stunned from start to finish as your entire being is assaulted by the majesty of over 2 hours of combined high-flying acrobatic displays, acting out erotic fan literature as performers recite it. Featuring special guest Gritty, the Fort McMurray Fire, the Ouya, a damaged rice paddy, and the Royal Academy of Quebec Square Boobs dance team, Cirque du Fanfiction Mouthword Mysterio is an experience not to be missed. Get your tickets now at FridayNightFanfiction.com for the event of a lifetime.
Also, I want the 2 hours of my life back last night that I used to watch fucking Mandy, that 2018 Nicolas Cage movie.
You didn't like Mandy?
Mandy was fucking terrible! You could have cut the first hour and 20 minutes out!
Yeah?
I want that time back!
Okay. It's definitely not the worst movie ever.
No, but it was boring, and I have better things to do with my time than watch boring art house movies.
Why did you watch it if it's an art house movie?
Because it was Terrible Movie Tuesday, and I decided to muscle through.
It does not belong on Terrible Movie Tuesday.
Oh, it does.
They fight a demon with a thorn and cock. No, it doesn't.
Yes, an hour and 35 minutes into it. Final Fantasy XIII is a great game after 200 hours.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
What's so funny?
Oh, you'll see when I post it.
I hate this laughter that I can't participate in. It makes me feel terrible, like those times that I got hit out first in wall ball in middle school.
Wall ball?
Maybe you should have just been better at wall ball.
There's another name for it that's really dumb.
Freedom ball?
Handball?
Butts up is what it's called.
What? No, it's not.
Yes.
No, that's fake. You made that shit up.
Popular in New England is another frequent variation of wall ball that usually differs a lot from the more widely known butts up. That's literally what it is. It's just a variation of wall ball.
If it wildly differs from it, then it's not the same fucking game.
Butts up, a.k.a. spread eagle, A-ball, asses up, assies, rehab, and tees.
What kind of fucked up game are they playing where they're just sticking their butts up in the air? This is a game for children.
What the hell kind of a name is Bolivar Shag Nasty's Revenge?
Shag Nasty's Revenge.
No one has ever called it that.
It's literally in the Wikipedia article.
Link it to me now.
It's in the shape bucket. Bolivar Shag Nasty's Revenge.
This article had to have been edited by like 4chan or some shit. Assy's Rehab and Tea. What the fuck? Hang on. I'm going to check these references.
In true Columbo fashion, Logan dives deep to get the facts.
All right. Stoop ball. You play against cement stairs with a pensley pinky.
A paisley pinky.
A pensy pinky. Anyone can play, and everyone plays against everybody else. Throw the ball off the stairs and try to catch it after it bounces back. If the ball bounces more than twice, you lose your turn. The next player is up. The scoring goes, catch it on the fly is 10 points. Catch it on one bounce is 5 points. And if the ball bounces off the edge of the stoop because it's hard to catch and comes off the stoop fast, it's worth 50 points.
Honestly, this is a phrase that I didn't imagine seeing in a description of butts up. A player with ball in hand must keep 1 foot planted at all times, or in the interest of justice. If a player was stranded well beyond throwing a relay distance, he could take one large step towards the wall.
Okay, I'm going to describe to you what butt ball is. All the players line up in front of a wall and use smaller balls, usually tennis balls, that they throw against the wall. If they do not catch it after the first bounce, they then have to run and touch the wall before being hit in the butt by a ball being thrown by another player.
Kids are fucking terrible!
Yeah, I mean, that is what wall ball is.
Yeah, so I was right!
But they shouldn't call it that.
In this reality of ours, for once in my friggin' life, I am correct.
Well, hang on.
No.
See, that reference is used for like the names Butts Up, Spread Eagle, Ass Ball, Asses Up. Those names don't appear on the document. Let me check the second source. Yeah, I'm gonna call bullshit on this Wikipedia article. I don't think it is called those things because none of those names exist in those reference pages.
Do you have a fucking intro already, or are we...
Yeah, we're good.
If you listened to the last episode, you would know that.
Man, I haven't listened to an episode of our show since, like, season 4. That's how I forget that I make jokes.
My favorite gay pairing is obviously Mr. Snrub and Guy Incognito. They're meant for each other.
Guy Incognito.
Oh my god, this man is the exact same as I am. Oh my god, the dog has a fluffy tail.
Here, Puff Puff.
Here, Puff Puff. Here, Puff Puff. We've spent a lot of time doing tangents in the first 3 episodes of the season, so instead of spending the next 11 minutes talking about that time that David got first place in art when he was in elementary school...
I was in high school, you ass.
Whatever!
I don't know, I feel like we could have a few phone calls.
Oh, turning that shit off right the fuck now!
Come head around my house, guys, and I'll tell you a tale of how I got first place by phoning it in on some art.
What's the last video game that made you realize the awe and magic of the medium?
Mario Odyssey?
Mario Odyssey.
Martio Odyssey?
Yes. What about you, Logs?
The last game that made me really appreciate video games?
Yes. And it's okay to say Monster Musume.
That's an anime, not a video game.
It's not a video game.
Wait, I thought they had a game for it.
No, you're thinking of Monster Girl Quest.
No, you're thinking of Mamoru Quest.
You're right. You're right.
That's a porn game. And also, not terrible, but not much of a game either.
You're not playing it for the game. You're playing it to spank.
Oh, yeah. You're playing it to be like, oh, I'm about to fucking get vored by that snake girl's vagina.
Yeah.
That happens, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But also, major props to any developer that puts in a one-handed mode in their game.
He puts in vaginal vore via snake girl. That's the feature that we've been really needing in video games.
I don't know. Since I bought Kingdom Death Monster, the physical version, I don't play video games anymore.
I'm not sure what Kingdom Death Monster is.
It's expensive and beautiful. Let me post some pictures of the models in it, and you'll get a good idea of what it is. It's that game I tried to get us all to play on Twitch, and then...
Nobody did?
Nobody was, like, doing anything.
It's a cooperative board game created by a guy named Adam Poots.
Yeah, his name's Poots.
That's unfortunate.
Wooly says, so you play for the plot. Yes, I do actually play for the plot half the time.
Well, the Monster Girl Quest plot is surprisingly effective and compelling.
Dave, can you rotate your mic towards you?
Rotate your mic. Rotate your mic for science.
And also, Logan, back up about 2 inches.
Logan, give me those 2 inches.
Oh, baby.
Put those 2 inches right in you.
Oh, yes.
I am Steve-O, and I am uncomfortable. Joining me tonight in being uncomfortable are David.
Hi.
Logan.
I'm not uncomfortable.
And Sean. And Valerie is hanging out with her parents since they're here from Canada.
Womp, 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 womp.
Oh, we love her parents. There's no womp womp about it. They brought me sortilege.
It's womp womp because she can't hang out with us on the show. Instead, she is outside looking in to see who's opened the door. That's what friends are for. And when you're lost in dying need, who's at your side at lightning speed with friends of every creature coming down the pipe? I mean, in fact, we've never met an animal we didn't like.
Yeah, so Val's not here, but this is the first episode this season where we have guests. Are you fanfictioning with her parents around? Yes! Does it matter? No, because English is not their first language.
All right, perfect.
Question, Steve-O.
Answer.
How many times have you seen Val's dad jack off since he's been here?
What stories do we have going on tonight?
Stop dodging the question.
Right. Many, many thanks to Mr. Buster Manwomb. Should I say Sir Buster Manwomb? Because at this point, you deserve to be knighted by the United Kingdom.
We don't know it's a mister.
Okay, whatever your chosen pronouns are, because you went ahead and wrote 69 Hughes of D's Nuts 9. Columbo finds out who cucked Roger Rabbit.
Who the fuck is Columbo?
You missed the episode.
Oh, yeah.
See, Dave, if you were to listen in to the episode, you would know the bit.
Wait, is that episode out yet?
Yeah, it was out last week.
If I were to listen to the episode, then I would listen to the episode, but I haven't listened to episodes.
Don't you want to listen to yourself make funny?
I mean, don't you have time to sit on the toilet?
Why would I listen to this on the fucking toilet? I poop at work.
Okay, your point.
You're combining shit with other shit.
Oh, fair play.
So we're going to be reading a Columbo fanfic. Columbo is a homicide detective from the 70s, Dave.
Oh, because those are really relevant with our audience.
Does somebody want to explain to Dave why Columbo even came up?
No.
Perfect.
Well, I fucking tried. Starting us off will be David with 69 Hughes of D's Nuts 9. Columbo finds out who cucked Roger Rabbit.
Summary.
I get the summary, Dave.
How do you get the summary? What are you? You the host?
Yes.
All right, then. Well, that makes sense.
Terminally distraught from catching his new wife in an act of infidelity, Roger Rabbit gets dead. The case is the most stone-cold whodunit to ever feature an entire room sprayed with semen. Only L.A.'s greatest glass-eyed gumshoe can bumble his way into the discovery of a lifetime.
I have a picture of you, Steve.
Is it the L'Chaim picture?
No, it's not.
Oh, isn't this a picture that I sent you from fucking last night where I'm laying in bed on my phone next to my fucking body pillow with Omura on it and just yep. A big section of the picture is taken up by Val's arm?
Yep.
Thanks for that.
All right, whose voice am I doing?
Do whatever voice suits your fancy tonight, whatever you're feeling.
About the other.
I want it distinguished. Give me your best Dennis Franz, your New York detective voice.
About the author. Known in lapping circles as either Bustrooney, the thrice aborted of Man Wombford, or Banned for Life, Buster Man Womb is best known for frequently painting their skin green and loudly demanding, "What are you doing in my swamp?" before being quietly but firmly escorted out of the laser tag arena. Chapter 1.
Steve, we should go do that at Shadowland.
Oh, yes! I'll camp by the fucking gull and just yell, "Get out of my swamp!"
Chapter 1. R2-D2 Motorboats Bambi's Mom. Ho! Be deepa, beep bleepa, bleep bleep. R2-D2 screamed, twisting his head in circles between the thick deer's titties of Bambi's mother, who did not die, but had made a deal with Elmer Fudd to fake her death and leave her life behind so she could be with her one true lust, Roger Rabbit. Infowars.com. Fuck you, Steve. Lust is a fast-burning fuel, though, and dies out faster than the shock value of R2-D2 shaking his head between Bambi's mom's thick deer titties. And she is a deer, none of that BoJack Horseman anthro shit. Not that this was an ongoing thing. Bambi's mom didn't even know R2-D2 that well. He was actually the sugar daddy of a parakeet made birdie. For months, R2-D2 had been sneaking into the servants' quarters of Roger Rabbit's mansion to fulfill his insatiable fetishes for home invasions and feathery titty fucks.
Sounds like something you'd get arrested for.
No, I'm not into, like, breaking the law.
Feathery titty fucks? Absolutely fine. Breaking the law with home invasion, not so much.
Well, it's contextual. If it's a feathery titty fuck, great. If it's a feathery titty fuck after breaking and entering, not so great.
Don't yuck other people's yum.
I ain't just putting my dick in between nothing, you know what I'm saying?
I ain't going to jail for no reason.
I ain't going for jail because I couldn't keep it in my pants. That's some Me Too shit. I ain't into that.
Oh, no, Dave.
What? I have to make a topical political joke because those fuckers need to burn in prison for all eternity.
I don't think they burn people in prison.
They do in the burnitentiary.
When you reach, that's what I really like, the mythos that you come up with. Because in the Sunlands RP, there needs to be a jail called the Burnitentiary now.
No, that's stupid. You're stupid.
Yeah.
Also, I deleted that channel, so...
Oh no, where's Sunsland RP Reborn?
I deleted it.
No!
My channel deletion powers got taken away.
Steve, do not add it back.
But that's all world building. The truly important thing was that R2-D2 was motorboating Bambi's mom, making her scream like a human man with a diaphragm in his mouth out of raw, erotic joy. He hadn't had his senses overloaded like that since that time those Jawas tasered him.
Like this.
Like this.
God damn it, who deleted Sunlands this time? It's personal.
Probably Logan. That seems like a thing he would do.
You son of a bitch.
I just didn't want to get the pop notification when you posted it.
Oh yeah, tequila, my one true love. All right, anyway. Sure, Birdie was in on this act of indecent infidelity, polishing R2-D2's lengthy chrome penis with a feathery boobies. But if you weren't drawing your attention to the fact that R2-D2 looked like he was bobbing for apples between some milky teats and prevented Bambi from starving to death, then my bro, you was doing something wrong.
Can I just have you say as a sentence just the words, feathery boobies?
Feathery boobies.
What was the cause of death?
Feathery boobies. See, he came down here to get his rocks off. Turned out he had a bad case of feathery boobies. He took the chicken shit way out and punched his own ticket via feathery boobies. Sorry, we get a little insensitive and, you know, just a bit immune to this kind of stuff from seeing it so much.
We get a little insensitive in the burnitarium.
If you or a loved one have suffered from feathery boobies, you may be entitled to financial compensation.
Mail P.O. Box 18742 at the burnitarium.
Burnitarium Road in Reno, Nevada. Ask for Mitch.
Do you know anybody named Mitch?
I don't know anybody in real life named Mitch outside of that fuck stick in the sentence.
The only Mitch I know is a fucking red-pilled, used-to-be-punk that's now a Christian conservative.
Oh, what a tragic transfer.
I know!
Steve, you've seen not SCP Punk. That's a different thing.
SLC Punk is how I got my fucking nickname, Dave!
Is it? Because I thought that was just the guy from Jackass.
Whoops.
Also, we lost Logan.
He's back. He's good.
What did you do?
I was intending to click on the shame bucket and it. I actually clicked on the voice channel.
Anyways, you were talking about SLC Punk starring me as Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, I hate that movie.
Fuck you! It's such a good movie!
I don't hate it because it's a bad movie per se. I hate it because its resolution does nothing but defeat the entire purpose of the movie.
Yes, but it's exactly what happened to me. I was a punk growing up, and I now work for the goddamn government!
Yeah, but you didn't go into it saying you're gonna change the system from the inside.
That shows what you know.
Bleep that out. We don't want people knowing. We'll replace it with potato. No one will ever know. He works at Fort Knox, but for French fries.
No, I'm going to print up business cards that call me Mitch and that I work at the Burnitarium.
The Burnitarium. Someone make a shirt for the Burnitarium.
All right, new shirt idea. Get Val on it.
Oh no, now we're 3-for-3. The only Mitch I know is my father. He is an awful person.
Oh.
Oh God.
Anybody know a good Mitch?
What is wrong with you? If your name is Mitch and listening, what is wrong with you?
If you're listening, your name is Mitch, please be a good Mitch.
Yeah, no more bad Mitches. We've had enough bad Mitches.
We've got enough bad Mitches to last us a lifetime.
Honey, I'm home, my God. Roger Rabbit screamed, his face recoiling in disgust, like he had just read the last 5 paragraphs. It's meta, listen to it. His home invasion fantasy reaching its fullest realization, R2-D2 ejaculated logistically unrealistic volumes of droid semen
oil
into the air and onto himself and the whole room. The breast of Bambi's mom made a cartoonish pop sound as she jumped away, horrified.
Now take those two pops and make a version of popcorn. Just do all of the work.
So what I do every week.
She jumped away horrified.
Only I can explain.
Why, Bambi's mom?
Roger Rabbit said, his face a sad.
Does Bambi's mom not have a name?
No.
Probably like Bambino or something like that. I don't know.
Bambi's mom. What is the name of Bambi's mom? Literally the answer, Bambi's mother.
All right. What? Wait, what about Bambi's dad?
His dad is named Balto.
Mitch.
it's Mitch. Mitch.
He's king of the forest. His name is Mitch.
Roger Rabbit said, his face a sad, is it because I'm sexually inadequate?
Yes.
Yes, Bambi's mom said.
Oh, shit. Oh, I'm so sorry, Roger. I didn't mean to call it out too real.
Thank fuck. Now I don't have to say it. There are more positions than a cowgirl, you'll know.
I have a bad back and you know it,
Roger Rabbit said.
Val, what are you doing on the show? You told me you weren't going to be here.
And with Artu,
it's not the voice.
You're having a little trouble there, buddy.
And with R2-D2, how long has this been happening?
This was the first time, I swear.
Betty, being the help, was a master of being unnoticed by rich people and had quickly clothed herself and hid behind Bambi's mom's sex doll shaped like Archduke Ferdinand.
Is that a thing that exists?
No, nobody thought the Archduke was that good. Otherwise, people would get really mad about it, you know?
Sean, you're up.
Oh.
I can't believe this. Oh. Roger Rabbit mewled.
Really? This is a Buster Manwoom fic. How can you not believe it?
Yeah. Upending his liquor cabinet into his mouth and composing himself. Bambi's mom.
Sorry.
That's Bambi's mom's new name.
Bambi's mom, we're over. We are divorced as soon as I call my lawyer. Ah, shit. Bambi's mom said, lighting a cigarette.
Say it more feminine.
Ah, shit. And R2-D2! Roger Raggett screamed. I thought we were bros. The media will lose their shit when they see the pictures I'm taking on my phone.
When see the pictures.
Oh. The media will lose their shit when they see the pictures I'm taking on my phone right now. Birdie was panting behind the sexy Archduke when she heard two gunshots.
Pow, pow.
She screamed, peering out to find all three of them dead. It was a good fucking thing this was her day off. She fled as sirens blared in the distance. Chapter 2. About the author. Buster Mamoon spent 19 years being absolutely convinced that Santa was a pedophile.
All right.
I was raised Jewish. I have no input on this.
Oh, fuck. I read the rest of it. And thus lived by their deduction that the Christmas was a whitewashed metaphor for Canadian residential schools. I'm taking a fucking drink for that.
What?
That is such a deep cut historical reference. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Sean, do you want to explain what happens to the indigenous peoples in Canadian residential schools?
Yeah, they basically sent Native American kids to these schools to be converted into Christianity.
Okay, pretty standard.
Yeah, some bad shit happened.
So the Andrew Jackson special is what you're saying.
Oh, don't call it that.
This is a highbrow episode, guys. Wow. This is really intelligent.
As opposed to any other episode, which is also the most intelligent, every episode gains more and more IQ.
Speaking of IQ, can we talk about butts up again?
No, I don't want to talk about butts up. Unless we're going to talk about how the name Butts Up makes no sense and is not referenced in any historical document.
Chapter 2, Deer and Lubing in Los Angeles. Columbo sauntered onto the scene. The well-furnished mansion hall was a mess of black motor oil that smelled vaguely of pineapple and blood, which smelled vaguely of coconut. Looks like someone shot up a Ford dealership in here, Columbo remarked, lighting a cigarette. What leads do we have? It's a pretty obvious triple crime-a-side, the nearest cop said.
That does sound like something Logan would invent.
It's where you kill three crimes.
The nearest cop said, suffering from clearly not watching many crime dramas besides The Wire. Pretty open and shut case, Roger Rabbit walked in on his new wife having some sassy non-noms. with this here robot. Roger Rabbit shot them, and they're shot right back. Why are they dead? Gullible asked. They were shot, the cop said. Death tends to be a side effect.
Unless you're Logan.
You just tell the bullets to fuck off.
The tunes, Columbo said. Bullets shouldn't do a damn thing to them. Maybe we're going by the logic of the original book? The cop asked. I don't fucking know.
Neither do I.
So I just read the three original books.
The three original Columbo books?
No, Roger Rabbit books.
I didn't even realize that was a book.
Yeah, the movie was based off of the first book. Well, inspired by. And then he wrote two more books after that.
Huh. After the movie came out?
Oh, yeah. One came out in 91. The other one was like 2013.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then the movie came out in 88. I mean, they're good, but they're a little misogynistic at times. But they're also taking place in the 40s, so...
Not an excuse.
Nah.
Anyways, let's not get too real again.
Canadian residential schools, nah, too obscure. There's something else going on. Columbo was looking around the room. All the servants were off the clock according to this log book here. Guess that means no witnesses. Hey, wait a minute. What? A coroner, preparing to move the bodies, stopped. Did they take the evidence yet? The fuck do I look like, an evidence taker? The cop rolls his eyes.
David, that does sound like something you would say. So basically, various characters in the story are reminding me of the people that I spend one night a week drinking with.
I mean, you could spend more nights a week drinking with us, but you just refuse to.
Yeah, you could invite us over for once in a while, geez.
You keep saying things like, oh, there's just too many miles between us, and I can't be bothered to fly out to your house every day.
He says, oh, my love for you is just not that great anymore, and I want to see other people.
Yeah.
Wait, when did I say that?
You didn't. You said it with your eyes.
You said it with your eyes.
When's the last time either of you looked into my fucking eyes?
When I was over at your house the other day.
David has a picture of me up at work that he stares at daily.
Every day, and they're like, who is that?
I was at your house 10 days ago.
Last Saturday. During the potluck that was literally four people brought food, two people brought beer, and two people brought nothing.
You gotta bring people in with video games.
Fine. Next time I will say, this is Steve-O's video game party. Also, for the love of fuck, bring food. We're not ordering pizza again. Day.
Day.
The cop rolled his eyes. I'm supposed to stand here, eat my donut, and be contrarian towards everything you say? Your mother must be very proud. Her son is an NPC. Columbo remarked. Roger Rabbit doesn't have any guns on him. Based on the bullet-shaped dent in his phone, I'm guessing the bullet R2-D2 shot at Roger Rabbit ricocheted back and struck him in the head. But he doesn't have any gun he could have shot Bambi's mom with. Where's the murder weapon? Damn it, man. I'm a cop, not a doctor. Contrarian cop said, eating his donut.
Next up is me. And a damn fine one, I'm sure. Columbo scoured the room and noticed a card on the floor beside a sexy statue of Archduke Franz Ferdinand. Hi, Val. My phone is off because they said they were going to call me. That's why I didn't look at my messages. What? Why? What do you want? How dare you ignore your wife? The phone is off. I cannot overcome the limits of technology. Also, we're live.
I know.
Guys, say hi to Val. Nobody has said a damn thing.
It didn't stop you from getting hang so on. Many calls last time.
Hang on. Are you calling
hang
Val?
On. Hang on. Oh, I don't have Val's number in my phone anymore. Fuck.
Oh, no, he doesn't have your number. What's up? Okay. No, go to the cow without me. It closes at 10. Can I get a concrete with mint chocolate chip, Italian ice, and vanilla custard? What? What's so funny?
Careful, Steve. Now everyone's going to know your order for the cow.
No, a concrete is a mixture of custard and Italian ice that they blend together. It's very good. Let me continue with my story, talking about the sexy statue of Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Oh, I misheard that. I thought you said it was the sexy statue of R-Truth. From wrestling.
No, it's about the truth that, David, I just want to be with Sean tonight. You'll have to sleep alone.
Sean is a big enough man for both of us.
Are you implying he's overweight?
No, I'm implying his dick is like 40 stories tall. It's a rock-hard pillar of masculinity. that is used to guide ships to shore at night.
My dick is not a lighthouse.
It is now.
I'm landlocked.
It stands rigid against the winds.
I'm going to make a Tinder profile using Sean's image. I'm going to name it Mitch.
No, don't do that to him.
And the only description is my dick is a lighthouse.
I'm not allowed on Tinder anyway, so good luck.
Wait, why not?
Because they have standards.
No, they don't.
The lighthouse stands outside of the Burnitarium. Oh, wait, no, the Burnitorium. The Burnitarium is where you can see planets.
It's where you can see only the flaming planets.
Oh, cool. So that Jupiter planet that orbits around 51 peg.
I really want to know what drug we've been fed that literally every episode we come out with this super elaborate universe of jokes. Mitch, the Burnitorium, the Burnitarium, the lighthouse.
Well, you see, Steve, we take this drug called being funny.
Ask your doctor if being funny is right for you. Side effects may include hurt sides.
Picking it up, it read...
the condition known as hot dog fingers.
Shut up! Picking it up, it read Greasy Julio's Massage, Hand Job, and Pizza Parlor.
You know what's really good for hand jobs? Hot dog fingers.
I was going to say chicken grease.
I was going to say the Burnitarium.
The Burnitarium.
Two.
Is that a Christian for walking? No. Put that in not safe for work. How dare you?
That was in there before.
Can I start the sentence? Oh, no, can I start the episode over? Can I start the sentence over?
Yeah, let's just start the episode over.
Yeah.
Friday Night Fan Fiction is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Picking
the
it
way
up,
the
it
Bee Gees
read.
Played.
Movie Greasy Julio's Massage, me. Hand yes, Job, you know and Pizza Parlor.
Oh, it's more than a dance.
Two plot convenience streets. That's just across the street from us, Columbo said. The fuck does it matter? The fuck does that matter? Fuck!
This guy sure does love to curse.
You would too if you were named Contrarian Cop by your parents.
I would too if I was named Mitch.
The fuck does that matter? Contrarian Cop contraried? Maybe one of them had a massage recently. I don't know. Wait a minute! Columbo said as he picked up a whiff of something. It was coca-tun. Coca-tunny? Yes, it was coconutty. That smells familiar. Coppa man! Smell R2-D2's dick! Man! No, Sean, you need to say this.
Man, fuck you!
Contrarian Cop said with the disgust of a normal person watching weebs call Tifa's breasts in the new Final Fantasy trailer small. Do it! Columbo said with the anger and frustration of a weeb who thinks that the Final Fantasy VII remake will suck because Tifa's new design doesn't make his penis happy.
I miss my penis plenty happy. I like tits in all sizes. Fuck you.
Fine. Contrarian Cop said with the acquiescence of a Square Enix artist trying to make E-cups on a kickboxer realistically viable, leaning in ever so slightly towards R2-D2's chrome panty pickle, and took the slightest whiff. Chrome panty pickle, je t'adore. It smells like coconut. I knew it, Columbo said. There was somebody already... I can't read! There was somebody else here! How the fuck do you know that? Contrarian Cop doubted. Damn it, man. You're a cop, not a psychic. Columbo answered. I'll leave it to you. I'm going to get a massage. He flicked his cigar to the ground, accidentally catching it on R2-D2's semen and setting the whole scene ablaze. The Burnitorium! Chapter 3.
Hey-o.
Yep. Hi, Judy.
We're doing crab maintenance.
We're doing crab maintenance?
That's what I heard.
That's what I heard.
Also, much love, Buster Manwomb.
Yes. Thank you for writing this for us.
About the author. The only government records acknowledging Buster Manwomb as a living being have them listed as a wolf with mange. They once thought they were trapped in an ice concentration camp, but it turned out to be a zoo. Ow. Chapter 3, The Reckoning. Excuse me, Columbo called out. an aging secretary wearing Mia Jovovich's outfit from The Fifth Element and smoking through a hole in his neck was sitting behind a desk, visibly masturbating to r/don't put your dick in it.
Well, hang on. Let's all take a little adventure. Just see where that leads.
You must be invited to visit this community.
I really don't want to look at it then.
The moderators in this community have set it to private. Okay, guys, mods of r/don't put your dick in it. My username is level99OCR. Please allow me to view it for scientific/comedic purposes. Back to the story. He seemed bothered to look up at Columbo. Hello, he warily said in a comedically raspy voice.
Welcome to Greasy Julio's Massage, Hand Job, and Pizza Parlor. Buy two and get the third free, whether you like it or not. What'll you have? How much is all three? Columbo asked. Just enough. Shit,
I am having a lot of trouble seeing words.
Just cheap enough for you to be absolutely sure that none of them will be done properly,
the secretary said.
I'll have that then. Third booth. Count to 30 after you hear an oven ding and Birdie will be right with you,
the secretary said, returning to her computer screen. Columbo raised an eyebrow as he walked into the booth. He recognized the name from the logbook at the crime scene. Logan, take us home, please.
Yellow, Birdie announced as she stepped into the room, staring at Columbo, lying under a towel on the massage table.
Where do you ache the most? Back, stomach, or penis?
Yes.
Let's start with the back, Columbo said.
That's not Columbo's...
No, I just thought, you might have been feeling a little lonely since Val isn't here, so I brought her along.
It's not like she's gone forever. I do have object permanence, Logan.
Ah, no, your wife's gone, so, you know, I just wanted to give you a little taste of home.
Well, if you want to give me a taste of home, come over dressed in a wig with square boobs and tell me how much you love me.
Steve-O, I love you very much.
That'll do.
The massage was reminiscent of when your partner tries to give you a massage. You could tell they're trying, but it's not really that good.
Hey, every single person I've been with... He's right.
That was a really sad interaction. Maybe you should, like, practice and make them good.
Maybe I should go to massage school.
You know, just take a 2-hour class or something.
Okay. I'm going to see if I can do it as a correspondence course.
Columbo knew his muscles were knottier than an Ent's asshole, but Birdie didn't seem to hit a single one. Still, something damning crossed Columbo's mind. The oil was coconut scented.
Not a fan of coconut, personally.
Are you going to be like one of those people who's, it's not the taste, it's the texture?
No, I don't like the taste.
You're just wrong then.
I have accepted this as part of my life being friends with you.
That you're just going to be wrong sometimes?
Exactly. It is a fact of being friends with Logan P. Jenkins.
It's definitely not a P.
Logan W. Jenkins.
You got it wrong again. Come on, keep trying.
Logan J. Jenkins.
No, that'd be weird.
The J stands for Jenkins.
Logan M. for Mitch Jenkins.
It is definitely not fucking Mitch.
The M for Mitch stands for McConnell.
No!
Oh, jeez, another bad Mitch. Christ.
Somebody point out a good Mitch to us.
Mitch Hedberg. Hey!
Yeah, but he's dead. Point out a good alive Mitch.
Okay, so you're saying that the transitive power of Mitch died out with the Hedberg.
It might have.
You want the handy next, hun?
Birdie asked, plunging her fist into a stained barrel of coconut-scented coconut oil. Actually, how much would it cost to upgrade to a tit job?
Oh, yeah, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck a woodchuck?
I tried to look up Cool Mitch, and this was one of the first results. It's an Amazon sweater that just says, love me some Mitch.
Love me some Mitch.
Well, we found the only good Mitch in the world. It's a sweater.
Tree fitty. Columbo gave Birdie a fiver and turned up. Have at her. The tit job was even worse than the massage. But the raw titty contact was at least enough for Columbo Jr. to get dutifully unstiffened. I have a question for you, Columbo asked. How are you, a bird,
able to give a tit job if tits if birds lack memory glands.
If tits lack birds.
Birdie probably would have frowned if beaks were expressive. Oh, well, 9/11 was a difficult time for everyone.
No! No!
Just one more thing. Put this on! Columbo screamed as he slammed a fedora onto Birdie's head.
Gasp!
He gasped. He was getting a hand job from Perry the Platypus. He had disguised himself by wearing feathers and a dress, but the fedora made it all fall apart. What? Perry the Platypus? What are you doing giving me a tit job? Columbo asked. What are you doing giving anybody a tit job?
You know, I was thinking the same goddamn thing.
Oh god, my student loans are ruining me. Oh. Perry the Platypus wailed. I have to pay $1,200 a month just to keep up with the interest. They didn't pay me for being an agent, and they barely pay me here. I had to whore myself out to that mobile fucking wastebasket, and now he's dead. My maid job got killed in a murder-suicide, and your pizza's ready. Ding. Columbo was eating a surprisingly decent bacon and fresh tomato pizza while Perry the Platypus cried in the corner.
That's an average Wednesday night.
There, there, Columbo said, patting Perry the Platypus's back. At least there's one good thing that come out of this.
Good this.
At least there's one good this to come out of this. Sniff. What? Perry the Platypus said. I figured out how Bambi's mom and Roger... and Roger Rabbit died, Columbo said, pulling out their medical files from under his towel. They're both allergic to coconut oil. It was their allergies that killed them.
Snirk!
Perry the Platypus blew his nose onto Columbo's towel. So you know I had nothing to do with their deaths? Question. Yeah, but you did steal that oil from the place to help you pump your sugar daddy, Columbo said. You're going to jail.
1 hour later.
Congratulations, Lieutenant, the police commissioner said to Columbo as Perry the Platypus was driven away in a police car. You solved the murder you destroyed the crime scene of and sent a veteran from the brink of financial ruin to complete financial ruin. The streets sure are a safer place with you around.
Oh no, I didn't realize this author had visited Baltimore City's police station recently.
All in a day's work, Chief, Columbo smiled. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go home and see how my husband's playdate with Ted Cruz went.
Logan, can I get one O Columbo just for old time's sake?
Oh yeah, sure. Hang on, let me just play it off my phone. Oh, I'll just do a new one.
Oh, Columbo.
I want to get one in the afterglow, the immediate afterglow of having a six simultaneous orgasm with Columbo.
Oh, Columbo. The end. If you enjoy Buster Manwoom's unparalleled flavor of honey-glazed literary genius, follow them on Twitter at Buster Manwoom.
All right, we have another story to start because David's still here and I want to get him in for one more read.
Yeah. Wait, that's bad.
It's another 69 hues.
Oh, what?
There are six more of these to read.
I mean, it's natural because it says 69, so there are 629 more, so.
So there you go. This is 69 hues of D's Nuts 6. Disney reboots Indiana Jones. Summary: in the dark and hopeless year of the near future, Disney owns everything, and in George Lucas's darkest hour, it's down to one frog to reboot a franchise.
About the author, critics universally agree that Buster Manwoom is the literature what a midnight screening of Ice Spit on Your Grave is to your chances of ever getting a second date.
You know, I never actually did show that to Val. Maybe I should.
When questioned about this judgment, Buster Manwoom will, without fail, collapse in a flattery-induced crying fit. Witness these crying fits and so much more on Twitter at Buster Manwoom.
Buster Manwoom is literally just riding our coattails to the Twitter top.
I mean, he probably has more followers than us at this point, so it's all good.
No, he doesn't. For the longest time, it was all five hosts and, like, Afrohawk following him.
Fucking follow Buster Manwoom on Twitter.
If we get him to 200 followers, he'll write us a 50-page epic. You don't have to actually do that.
Okay, so a 50-page epic, can it be actually good?
I feel like that's just going to be 69 hues of 69 hues, where it just includes every single franchise that the author has ever witnessed.
Oh my god, I have an idea for that. So, you know how Leonardo of Vinci was a character? Let's say he meets Raphael of whatever the fuck Raphael's last name was.
Raphael of La Pizza.
Yeah, and then Michelangelo de Bergerac, and then Donatello does Machinzas, and then they become the prototype for the Ninja Turtles. Quest of the Delta Knights cross Ninja Turtles.
I can't believe that your furry account doesn't follow me on Twitter, Dave.
Also, follow my furry account if you want to see me retweet a bunch of furry porn. So that's at Admiral White Run.
All right.
About the author. Oh, I already read that. 69 Hues of D's Nuts 6. Walt Disney reboots Indiana Jones. Chapter 1. Disney decides what to do. All seemed to be good in the near future world. Disney owned everything, and executives were happily making more money per week than most of their employees could reasonably spend in a lifetime. It was a sunshiny day behind the closed doors of the executive meeting room, which was actually a gladiator pit where American fast food workers would tear each other limb from limb for a chance of winning luxurious luxuries like clean drinking water and insulin.
Ouch.
Man, this is the most political episode of FNF.
Like two episodes after the fucking Jeb Bush.
Mickey Mouse and Jeb Bush. No, it's Jeb, not fucking Jeb
no,
Bush.
No, I think Mickey Mouse would fuck Jeb Bush.
Mickey Mouse was seen fucking Jeb Bush going, ha ha, you're gonna love not winning Florida, ha ha. Wait a minute, which one of our listeners is Buster Manwoom?
I told you!
How are you only now picking up on this?
He doesn't listen to the show.
Which one of you are it? Tell me now. You're bound by law to have to tell me. Steve, you follow me on Twitter? That's so nice.
All right, Dave, Mickey Mouse and who else?
The Mickey Mouse and Steve O'Borts were fucking...
Did you lose your spot?
Yes. Mickey Mouse and Randy Pitchford were laughing, holding a maternity leave chique.
Yeah, that's the Canadian way for saying check.
Ah, so it's Sean!
It's not me!
It's not Sean!
No, it is definitely someone from Canada, though.
Yeah.
Because how else would they know about all this crazy shit?
Chique. Barely out of reach of a victorious but still mortally wounded woman. God, this is dark.
Yep.
The fabric of her Burger King uniform soaked in the censor-ridden blood of teenage McDonald's cashier. Not that the cashier minded much. He'd already sold most of his vital organs to keep up with his student loan payments. God! Where's my tequila lemonade? Because that's the only way it's going to be not sad.
It just keeps getting worse.
No, read ahead. I'm polishing off my drink. Stand by. All right, so I'll post that in Shame Bucket. Also, my legs are in that shot, so there you go. You can see my knobby knees.
Hi, knobby knees. Welcome to the Circus of Knobby Knees.
God, so the Circus of Knobby Knees is right next to the Burnitarium.
So we're crossover with the Brack universe?
Mm-hmm. I would love for an FNF Brack universe. Came up with student loan payments and was dead even before the diabetic gladiators began to fight over who got to cannibalize his pancreas. Then the door slammed open and a very fearful Kermit the Frog rushed in. We're in trouble. The Coke bin is almost empty. This sent the executives into a panic before Mickey Mouse raised a hand, commanding the silence of all present, lest they prefer exsanguination.
Exsanguination.
Exsanguination. Mickey's jaw unhinged in his mouth as his mouth opened, making room for the face of Walt Disney to push through Mickey's throat, nestling between Mickey's lips.
Wow!
Mickey's eyes turned milky white as Walt Disney assumed control of the body. This! Walt starred, black suspension juice leaking from his mouth. His voice was twisted, like if Emperor Palpatine spoke while gargling a single sip of water. Hold on, I can do this right.
There's no need to panic.
Oh god, it's getting anywhere.
Oh god. David's finally taking his job as seriously as I have the entire time we've been doing this.
Man, you're just mad I got that craft down pat.
You gotta keep going, because it's Liam's bedtime.
I know, what I'm doing is I'm taking some of his blanket and cleaning up the water that I spilled.
You fucking asshole.
It was on the floor already, it's fine.
Yeah, Grace! The less expertly suspended head of Stanley started, not daring to make eye contact. Walt let out a deep, gurgling noise as his throat filled with air. What? What shall we do, yeah, Grace? Walt said ponderously,
We are still a couple of years away. Be fire. We can marketably steal from the Jews again.
Oof.
Liquid leaked from his mouth as he prepared to speak again. He called out, to no one in particular,
how long until the next Marvel movie comes out?
4 hours, Your Grace.
And the next Star Wars movie?
6 hours, Your Grace.
And the next animated movie?
3 hours regular, 6 hours for Pixar, Your Grace.
And the next live-action movie?
You going to bed?
I got to, man. It's 9 o'clock.
Okay, you go to bed, and I will get you a body pillow of Mitch McConnell shipped to you post-haste.
No, God, no, God, no. Give me, like, dude, all right, if it's going to be a busy night cosplay, I want to have a fucking good body pillow to have, all right?
Any of our patrons listening to this, you have one shot. Put in what your suggestion is for a body pillow for David. I will pick what I think is the best one.
Are we saying put it in, like, the patron chat, or put it as, like, rename themselves on their patron name to the thing they want?
No, no, no. They don't need to rename themselves on their patron name. Just
no, they have to rename them on the patron name.
No, they don't. No.
I don't agree to this only because you guys are going to pick something I hate and it's never going to get used. And I don't want you to waste the money on that. If you pick something you think I'd like that's different.
How about a good compromise? I'll pick something you hate, but it will come with 2 pizzas.
That's not a good compromise.
How about we tear in half one thing you like and one thing you hate and sew them together?
Oh, one side is a love, one side is a hate?
Yes.
It's like half Renamon and the other half is fucking Dio from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Wait, you don't like Dio?
I don't like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure more than anything else.
Good night, Dave.
Good night, Logs. I love you.
To the rest of you, we will be ceasing the live portion for the week. Welcome, first guests of Season 9! Hi.
Wow. 9 whole seasons.
Exactly, I know. We should have been kicked off after the first 3, I think.
Kicked off what?
The internet. Obviously, we've gone downhill ever since Roy decided to leave the show.
Right, you don't need to make digs at Roy.
Oh, no, no, I'm making digs at us that we were only good when Roy was here.
Hey.
Oh, right, yeah, Sean, the host that was brought in as a replacement. We needed to have another foreigner on the show. You're second rate, Sean. What
the fuck?
This got dark.
I don't mean that. I love you, actually, and please don't kick me out of bed tonight.
You know what, Steve?
Damn it! Damn it, you know what, we are going to kick you out of, and then I was going to do this.
No! Oh, hi.
I did do it.
Thank you for putting me in the 7 minutes in heaven with Sean in the boo box. He is now pregnant with my child.
I only lasted 30 seconds, so.
It was 30 seconds for you, was 7 minutes for me. So how are you guys doing, starting with Kyle?
Yeah, stressed out. I'm all right.
Oh, what's got you stressed out, my dude?
That would take too long. Don't worry about it. Bunch of, like, really small things. You know, life essentially being life.
Okay, oh, Buster Man Room has shared a photo. Ah!
You okay?
No, he's not.
I am going to screen cap this and post it to you guys!
I'm sure it's not that bad.
Excuse me! Kyle! That is your real name!
It is.
What the fuck is that? No, no. No, no.
Also, it's now looking through all of my porn, so... Kyle, you'll just have to wait a second.
Okay.
Steve.
Or two.
Steve.
What? Oh, yeah, the show. That's a thing.
Steve.
What?
Steve.
What?
Why didn't you check those text messages your wife sent you?
Also, I have a missing voicemail from my mom. Yes, I will read out loud now the text message that my lovely wife, Miss Valerie Legendre, sent to me. Hello, this is your wife. I was wondering, when are the divorce papers arriving? I want to get moving already. I can't wait to leave this hellhole. By the way, would you be interested in the cow after the show, or would you be too tired, or would you prefer us to bring it back?
Aww.
That was polarizing. I replied to Buster Manwomb, thanks, I needed more pants-shitting fear in my life. Anyways, Mike, how are you?
I'm good. As I told you, I am probably adopting a dog this week or next.
Yay! Doggos!
Her name is Juno, as in Juno, Alaska.
Not the movie about a pregnant teenager.
No,
Let's totally get back to reading more of the 69 Hues da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You mean the one with America's First Skinhead?
So you're on page 3, Kyle.
Page 3? Hooray. I definitely have the fake open.
Buster Man Womb says, I don't do Discord, but I do have an inside agent.
An inside agent?
Okay, it's Sean. Got it.
It's not me.
It's Sean.
Only Canadians know other Canadians.
Wait, did Buster Man Womb reveal themselves to you?
No. Not yet.
Not yet. 30 minutes, Grace. And the next good live-action movie? Our scientists are struggling to find a name for that number, sir. Damn it! Walt Disney wailed, his tortured voice echoing through the room. We cannot put our faith in the live-action remake of The Good Dinosaur! We need something new! Walt slammed Mickey's fist to the nearest table. Something fast! Nobody dared make a sound. Even the gladiators were silent, pressing themselves to the wall beneath Walt, praying to avoid his attention. Someone made a dreaded cough, and Walt lurched in its direction. While George Lucas was technically still alive, he had grown so horrendously fat in his lavish idleness, he required a Baron
Harkonnen.
Baron Harkonnen.
Interesting, a Baron Harkonnen-esque harness.
Have you never read Dune?
No.
Have you never watched Dune?
I think I did, but I don't remember it.
It's the guy who floats around. He's really, really gross looking.
Okay. He required a Baron Harkonnen-esque harness to help him move his body without pulverizing his bones. Though rolls of fat were tugging at his facial features downward so drastically that conventional displays of emotion were impossible, the look of dread in his eyes was unmistakable. George, Walt grinned, lurching over to him. We haven't done much with your creative brood, have we?
No, Your Grace.
George, Lucas responded, barely louder than a whisper.
Go, Urge. Yeah, go.
Tell me, Walt caressed the skin on George Lucas's head, suddenly digging into the flesh of the rear of his head, and tugging George Lucas's face uncomfortably close to Walt's. What do you think we should do?
We can do.
What do you think we can do? George Lucas gasped, panicking. Maybe a Monkey Island movie?
Hey, I would fucking love that!
Walt stared at George. Confusion flickered across his face for a split second before giving way to venomous anger. Did you just joke with me?
I don't like this Walt Disney at all.
Yeah, he's kind of an asshole.
I mean, he's what I expected.
Yeah, you're gonna rub in that whole Nazi thing the whole time, aren't ya?
Yeah.
Everyone in the room sat petrified. You never wanted Walt Disney to think you were joking with him. At worst, you would be nailed to a chair while your family was set aflame. At best, you'd still be nailed to a chair, and your family would still be immolated, but your eyelids would not be removed beforehand. Good lord.
This is like, yep.
They visited the Burnitarium.
Not a lot of variance in this torture.
No. No, please. I was thinking out loud. Brainstorming, please. Keep brainstorming.
God damn it, Logan!
He asked who's texting me, so I texted him. It's me, Steve-O. I'm texting you.
Got him.
I'm gonna go watch the heart plug scene from the Dune movie now.
Oh, God.
I need to close all these tabs with Mitch in the name.
Why did you open so many?
Because I take my job seriously, Logan.
He had a Mitch itch. Keep brainstorming. George could feel the acidic suspension juice eat at his skin as it sputtered onto him. Ugh. Walt knew. Walt did not care. We haven't done Indiana Jones since The Purchase. Maybe a reboot? At first, Walt was motionless, for war felt like an eternity that his lips slowly slithered upwards, tugging his face into a nightmarish grin. I knew there was a reason we paid for you, Georgie! Walt patted the breathless George's cheek.
Georgie! We all float on massive returns from old franchises down here. Who the hell is texting me?
Twitter, shut up! I don't care if Sean's retweeting using our official Friday Night Fanfiction account that you can follow on Twitter at Friday Night Fic.
Wow.
So keep reading. Mike, you're after him. I'm gonna go get some Jelly Bellies.
Okay.
Professional!
Walt patted the breathless George's cheek and returned to his seat. Only then did anybody in the room dare to breathe. "I want an Indiana Jones movie in 20 minutes or you're all fired!" Walt screamed, goading the executives to scramble.
Your Grace," one of the executives asked. "What of the gladiators?"
Walt stared down into the pit. The gladiators cowered below him. The Walt Disney Legislative Department had made unintended press leaks a capital offense. Preventative murder was also allowed by all employees above the rank of producer.
B4. Walt's face slowly receded back down Mickey's gullet as its eyes regained their color and its piranha teeth pushed back in through their retractable gum slits. It grinned at the gladiators. God, this is body horror like Cronenberg. Nobody living has ever seen what Mickey's torso looks like when it opens up. Wow, I was not far off. All the executives saw were bony tentacles shoot out of the gap where Mickey's ribcage folded outward. The poor gladiators were last seen screaming as they were tugged into Mickey's torso. After half a minute of sounds akin to dozens of starving, debarked dogs eating live fish in ankle-deep water, several handfuls of coarse, slightly pink bone meal dropped in clumps, piling between Mickey's legs. The executives rushed to leave the room. "How?" George Lucas half cried, completely open to suggestions. "How could we make a movie in 20 minutes? Even with all our newest technologies, we need at least an hour to churn one out."
"I have an idea," Kermit the Frog offered.
George Lucas looked at Kermit the Frog desperately.
"Jim Henson was in your shoes not long after he was reanimated," Kermit said mournfully. "There was someone before the war. They churned out masterpieces faster than anyone could imagine."
Oh, what did I come back to?
I don't know.
Kermit Cronenberg.
Yeah, weird Cronenberg shit.
Oh, all right, Google. Weird Cronenberg shit.
I don't think you're going to get something you'll all enjoy.
Poop 101, the beginner's guide to reading your own poop by The Verge.
Great.
"No!" the severed head of Jack Kirby yelled hard enough that he began to spin in the Mysterio helmet full of suspension juice that he was kept in. "Absolutely not! When Jim presented that thing, Disney thought he was joking."
"Disney liked it," Kermit insisted. "It was Jim that didn't like it. He was accused of joking because he tried filming a one-man improv act instead."
"It's suicide," Kirby muttered.
"So is doing nothing," Kermit insisted,
turning to George.
"At least this way, we have a chance."
"Please," George sputtered pleadingly. "Do whatever you can." Nodding solemnly, Kermit flipped open his Disney brand iPhone, trademark.
"Get me a security team and a Disney copter, ASAP.
Sean, why did you text me? We did this 3 episodes ago. Give it another season, maybe 2 seasons before you
break. Hey, no, that bit was different. We were calling each other.
Yeah, they're not the same.
All right, keep reading, weird Kermit.
Asterix, chapter 2, asterix, colon, chapter 2. About the author. Buster Manwomb finally understands the burdens of the fates. To gaze upon the path of future history, no more able to change it than the currents of a river or the falling of the rain. Numb, all they can hope for is the assurance that they may entertain themselves as best as they can, come what may.
Ha, come.
They masturbate to pictures of baked pasta bi-hourly.
Oh.
Is that my ice cream? Yay, ice cream! Oh, I wasn't talking about the masturbating hourly thing.
Are you sure?
Bi-hourly.
Chapter 2, colon, The Search. The Disney copter was a interdimensional flying vehicle, cosmetically similar to Scrooge McDuck, if he had Ninja Turtles instead of hands.
Wait, hang on.
Kermit's Disney copter took half a minute to fly to the heart of Dartmouth, one of the many cities to never recover from the Disney Taco Bell Wars.
Landing tentacle spiraled out of the Disney copter's penis hole, easing Kermit and his protective unit of stormtroopers to the ground.
That is a sentence.
Oh, great. So Kermit is Kylo Ren.
What the fuck did I just read?
Welcome to Buster Man Rules for... What differentiated the ruins of Dartmouth from any other ruined city, aside from the fact that it looked worse than before the war, were the inscriptions on the walls. They weren't this plentiful when Kermit last came here, years ago, with the resurrected body of Jim Henson. What are we doing here, again? One of the stormtroopers asked, following Kermit as he silently walked onward. Didn't you read? The second stormtrooper paused to liquefy a betentacled mutant that leapt from the shadows. Didn't you read the memo? We're here to find a fan fiction writer.
Uh-oh.
It's getting real.
Yeah. Unauthorized fan fiction is illegal, though. It was, the third stormtrooper said. Disney's entire legal team was tasked with hunting this writer down. By the time they found them, the war had already broke out. Why didn't they send anyone to finish the job?
Mike, why did you text me?
Why bother? The second stormtrooper asked, looking around the idle wasteland. Who else is there to share anything with?
Hush,
Kermit ordered, halting in front of a building. For the first few blocks, the streets and the buildings were covered in fanfictions. Beautiful works of literature, thousands of words long, detailing the visceral sexual goings-on of any fictional character the mind could recall. As they walked, the fanfictions became shorter, and before long, devolved into phrases like, "Fist fuck ass! Fist fuck ass!" Repeated millions of times over.
Ah, they've reached downtown comics, Nix.
Starts above.
This is the place,
Kermit said, stopping in front of a ruined restaurant called Rapey Stew's House of Paprika and Testicles.
I'm not sure I want to eat there.
What, you don't like paprika?
No, not really. More of a seasoned salt kind of guy.
Oh, we can't be friends anymore.
Was this a Disney restaurant? The first stormtrooper asked. No way. Disney would allow anything like... Oh, wait. Yup. Disney. Fox owned this chain. The third stormtrooper said, checking his holographic encyclopedia about the old world. They were hiding under our noses this whole time. Kermit held up a hand, goading the stormtroopers to silence.
I am looking for Arthur Surrogate.
A gust of wind blew a mutated tumbleweed across their path.
Oh no, I read ahead.
I need a fan fiction, and I have deli meats, Kermit said.
I am just going to go on archive of our own now and just ask. I need a fan fiction, and I have deli meats. Who's interested?
That's the best way to get fan fiction, I
guess.
Yeah. You're just going to get someone who just only shouts fist fuck ass.
Kermit said, goading one of the stormtroopers to lift up a bowl of aromatic deli meats. A voice muttered. That came from the alley, the first stormtrooper muttered. Kermit walked into the alley without hesitation. The stormtroopers followed, weapons ready. Kermit stopped in front of the Rapey Stew's dumpster, knocking at the lid.
This is gonna turn into an autobiography.
Must be. A purr of handsome, grapefruit-sized eyes suddenly shone in the darkness.
This fuck ass. This fuck ass.
The stormtroopers pointed their blasters. Kermit waved them to ease.
Your Arthur Surrogate?
This fuck ass. This fuck. Ah, your Kermit.
Glad you recognize me, Kermit said.
I made fan fiction of you.
I know. They were revolting.
Kermit said, waving his bad taste in literature like a flag.
I need something from you. Anything with Indiana Jones in it. Something cinematic.
Me first.
Oh my god.
The eyes fixated on the bowl of deli meat. As the stormtrooper with the bowl drew near, two pasty frog-like arms shot from the darkness, grabbing the bowl and tugging it into the dumpster. After a minute of moist snorts, guys, I need some moist snorts. And whoever isn't doing moist snorts, I need dry burps.
I don't want to do either of those things.
Felt like I was playing a bootleg copy of Left 4 Dead 2 just now.
Oh god, that was horrible. And this is too apropos since I've been reading Lovecraft recently.
Well, I mean, you already used apropos, so you've lost any right to say anything for the rest of the night.
Damn it.
Serve him, you don't use the gun.
Wait, am I going into the boo box?
No. We need to clean it.
It's very sticky in there.
Is it ectoplasm? It is the boo box.
No, it was rectoplasm.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
The eyes returned, accompanied by the light sound of lips smacking. Logan, that is you.
I have just the thing. Hold out your hand.
No, end quote. Kermit made a stormtrooper hold out a hand.
No. It has to be you.
Kermit accepted a latex glove from a stormtrooper.
And now Steve-O's hard.
Oh, yeah. Donning it before he held out his hand. The froggy arm emerged from the darkness, dropping a dead tilapia into Kermit's hand.
What is this?
Kermit asked.
That's the fan fiction you asked for,
Author Surrogate said.
Use it when you need it, and all your problems will be torn in half.
I have made a terrible mistake, Kermit thought.
Can I get a text version too?
To his relief, a manuscript was thrown from the darkness, hitting one of the stormtroopers in the head.
Pleasure doing business with you,
Kermit said, turning around and walking away briskly.
Let's get the hell back.
Chapter 3. About the author. Buster Man Womb is a virile bachelor whose hobbies include long walks off of short piers and tweeting pictures of prolapsed reptile anuses to turfs on Twitter.
I'm down for that.
Follow them at Buster Man Womb.
What the fuck is a TERF?
TERF stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist.
Oh, okay.
So J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
And Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
That's rough, buddy.
Chapter 3, The Reckoning. There was 1 minute left in the 20-minute deadline when Kermit entered the executive screening room. George Lucas sat in his harness before the main screen, shaking nervously. His eyes lit up when he saw Kermit. Thank God! Where were you?
Getting your movie,
Kermit said, holding up the tilapia. George Lucas's disposition shriveled.
I'm having flashbacks to Monty Python.
Let me beat you over the head with this large trout. What is that?
Your movie,
Kermit said, dropping it onto the table in front of George Lucas.
At least I hope so. I spent a whole bowl of spam on it.
Spam, Monty Python.
George was about to loudly proclaim how screwed he was when the tilapia suddenly grew tentacles and slithered towards the 32K Super Ultra Mega Resolution movie player. It somehow totally wedged itself into the disk drive when the temperature in the room seemed to drop 5 degrees. I really need a bib when I do this voice because my shirt is getting wet. George struggled to see behind, but Mickey had definitely entered the room, with the remaining executive staff shuffling meekly behind it. Its piranha teeth chittered as its pupils seemed to grow. One twisted to focus on the screen, the other singularly fixated on George.
Well?
Mickey asked, raspily and gutturally.
Begin!
Logan?
You've really got the voices down pat, Steve.
Thank you, one person who said that. Everybody else has a different opinion.
Yeah, they're pretty okay.
A for effort.
Pretty okay. You know what? All the other obituary material is gone. Steve-O Bort's 1985 to 20XDX. Pretty okay.
Amazing.
Without any manual prompt, the tilapia-stuffed movie player jerked to life. The logos of all the companies Disney owned took up the first hour of screen time. Then the video started. A 400-pound middle-aged man snorting cocaine in a parking lot seemed to be wearing an Indiana Jones costume designed for six-year-olds.
Jesus, fuck!
The fat man jumped back, looking genuinely surprised that he was being filmed.
Right! Hi there! I'm Tony Montana, a mild-mannered frog lord. An inexplicably dorky high schooler. By day I go to school and deal cocaine like any normal high schooler.
Aw, man, I wasn't normal then.
For some reason, no matter what scene or from what angle, Bob Ross seemed to be sitting on a stool in the background, unmoving, unblinking, staring straight into the camera with a slackened grin. A long, slender blade pushed out the tip of Mickey's finger. George could feel it pressed against the arterial support cord of his harness.
But by night, the fat man continued jerkily, ignoring a worryingly prominent nosebleed, I'm Indiana Jones.
The screen suddenly cut to the temple from the start of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Only the fat man was carefully preparing to tug a golden butt plug off a pressure plate. Unfortunately, due to an indecisive casting director, I turned into 1,000 lesbians when I'm Indiana Jones.
Oh, okay.
The fat man's skin disintegrated, revealing a mass of unconquerable darkness from which 1,000 screaming lesbians seeped out, grabbing the butt plug.
Logan, what is this?
What is what?
Logan, what is this walking in on your son inserting season one of The Sopranos on DVD into his ass ASMR? Remember the one review that we just choose to ignore that just says they don't like our edgy jokes? I think they're right.
Grabbing the butt plug and squeezing itself along the walls of the temple.
Oh, holy shit, balls! Get this fucking thing off of me!
Ho John screamed. Apparently played by a very surprised John Cena chained to a wolf.
Wait, I'm sorry.
In subtitles, he said, hurry, Indy, you activated a booby trap. Indy and Ho John rushed along the temple, while hundreds of Indy's lesbian appendages slithered along the walls like a FromSoft monster. The iconic giant ball rolled down the hallway, but stopped after getting wedged into place by merely a few dozen of Indiana Jones's lesbians.
Fucking hell, get this furry fucking thing off of me!
Ho John screamed, in subtitles asking, golly gee, Mr. Jones, are you alright?
No, it's not Mr., it's Mr.
Mr. Jones. My queen has laid more lesbians. I am already back up to 1,000 lesbians.
What the fuck?
Fuck.
Ho John said.
That's too many fucks.
Fuck you.
You never have too many fucks.
Ho John said, punching his wolf parts, expressing relief in subtitles. Suddenly, a green portal opened up. Iron Man jumped out.
Indiana Jones, we need your help, Iron Man said. No, Indy said,
obstinately pertaining to the archetypal path of the hero's quest.
Please?
Iron Man said.
No, that's bullshit writing. Tony Stark would never say please in his entire life.
He did that one time.
Okay.
Indiana Jones followed Iron Man, leaving Ho John, who seemed too busy clawing, biting, and punching himself to contribute. A low grumble leaked from Mickey's mouth. George could feel the knife press harder against his harness.
Kyle, we're back to you.
Oh, God, what the fuck? All right.
You signed up for this!
Well, yeah. Indiana Jones sat at a table in a small room. Iron Man, Rick and Morty, and the Mona Lisa sat at a table. Not Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa. It's just a painting.
It's the picture.
It's just the painting.
For my Halloween costume next year, I want to dress up as John Cena chained to a wolf that's constantly punching it. Logan, I want you to accompany me and just insert subtitles underneath me whenever I say something.
I'll be the wolf.
No, Dave is the wolf.
We can't allow Dave to be the wolf.
We make Logan the wolf so that David suffers from not being the wolf. He'll supply the subtitles.
Oh, that's good.
All the subtitles will be him being upset about how he's not the wolf. Did it just get crowded in here? Morty asked. Well, they say that four's a crowd, the Mona Lisa said, making everyone present laugh as Indy smooshed her against a wall. The only person that didn't laugh was Rick, whose entertainment value compensated for his horribly toxic personality.
Jesus!
Enough jokes, Iron Man said. Dr. Mantis
Toboggan.
Toboggan, thank you. Is selling drugs to kids again. We need to stop him. Rick, can you do anything about it? Sorry, Tin Man. Rick burped. I need to be written by somebody way more talented to work as a character. I'm gonna finish this
crap
vodka and collapse on a pile of fanboys that confuse intelligence and confidence for character appeal. Oh.
Damn. Fucking got him.
Amazing. And so Rick Sanchez did just that, vomiting onto and then collapsing onto a pile of socially inept fanboys who were just hidden off screen until then cooing stupid things like, he's such a role model and I'm totally a Rick.
Can I punch something?
God, Steve, you're such a Rick.
Oh.
I would punch you if it would do anything.
Don't you have a body pillow of Logan?
Not yet.
Well, we need to fix that so you can punch it.
All right, I'm going to look up body pillow Logan.
You're just going to get Wolverine.
Yeah, I was going to say you get Wolverine.
No, it's like some very nice looking pillows from Nordstrom and finelinens.com.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Do any of them have retractable blades?
All of them.
No. Holy shit, are you kidding me?
What?
Logan body pillow with insert from Pom Pom at Home, $241.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
No! No, posting it in the fucking shame bucket. This is not worth motherfucking $241 goddamn dollars. It looks like you're laying on a piece of canvas.
I do like canvas.
Guys, sometimes just because things are expensive doesn't make them good.
I better stay with him, Morty said. You know, so he doesn't choke on his tongue. It's happened before.
Oh, no. You were wrong. I looked up Logan Dakimakura, and no, it's not Wolverine. The first thing that shows up is a fucking Dakimakura of goddamn Logan Paul.
Oh, I didn't want to hear that, man. You could have just not told me that, and my life would have been so much better. Oh, Logan left.
God damn it, I did it again.
What did he do?
Can we move Party on Pizza to not be right next to the shame bucket so I don't accidentally click on it?
All right, hold on a second. I've created a channel called an extra chat channel so Logan doesn't accidentally click the voice chat.
Please lock that. Can you lock it? All right, I'll just lock it.
Just lock it.
I'll lock it until Logan locks it down. Although I won't know because as super admin, I'm allowed to do anything.
Okay, now only admins get post in it. Well, actually, no, that's still not true.
Yeah, it's still not true.
Hold on, I got this, okay?
No, I got it. I figured it out already. I couldn't figure out what the fuck I was supposed to do, what I was supposed to change.
Back to the thick. Teleport me to Toboggan's office, Indiana said to Iron Man.
Otherwise known as the extra chat channel so Logan doesn't accidentally click the voice chat.
Indiana said to Iron Man, all 2,000 eyes glistening with inspiration. I'll whip the drugs out of his hand. Great idea, Iron Man said, doing so. Fade out. Fade in to an office. On Frank Reynolds' private jet. Mantis Toboggan! Indy screamed as he teleported into the jet, pressing himself against every surface. Stop selling drugs to kids! I'm not Mantis Toboggan,
Frank Reynolds insisted as his jet rapidly filled with lesbians. Yes, you are.
Oh, shit.
Insistiana Jones. I got teleported here. I'm Frank Reynolds. Look at my wall. Indiana Jones's lesbian that was smushed against the back wall looked at the mounted Trump University degree majoring in exploiting Vietnamese men. Sure enough, it was in Frank Reynolds' name. Oh. Huh. Indy said. My mistake. I suppose. And then the plane exploded. Frank Reynolds' jet was only fit to carry 150 people plus luggage, but his plane was filled with 1,000 lesbians so quickly.
Is that like the sequel to Anaconda?
It's definitely like the porn parody of it.
Yeah, lesbians. There we go. So quickly that neither he nor his pilot realized that the plane was falling like Juicy Smollett's credibility. Oh, I don't know who that is.
Jesse Smollett.
Yes.
Juicy.
Iron Man and the Mona Lisa flew to the wreckage. Amidst the flaming wreckage was tons of drugs.
No, that's still just tons.
I think it's tonnies, actually.
No, it's actually tons.
No, it's tons.
It's tons? Oh. Oh, so tons, yeah. Okay, you're right. It's tons, yeah.
It's the Canadian way.
Amidst the flaming wreckage was tons of drugs and a pair of Groucho Marx glasses. So Frank Reynolds was Mantis Toboggan this whole time, Iron Man said, shaking his head.
Another mystery solved, thanks to Columbo.
Yep. Just take off the glasses. There he is.
Logan Paul, what are you doing?
Don't do this.
I shouldn't have had him weigh in on our investigation. Yes! The Mona Lisa twitched, hiding cocaine in her nose and shirt when no one was looking. You'd think you know a guy. Iron Man turned to a rescue worker. Any survivors? The whole place is about as lively as Kevin Spacey's work schedule, the rescue worker said.
Oh.
Sorry. All right, one page left.
Mike, you're finishing us off with a handy.
Hooray.
Just no coconut oil because we're allergic.
I'm not allergic, I just don't like it.
I kind of prefer he does the thing we're allergic to because then it gets extra swollen.
Nothing helps with your gains than eating things that you're allergic to.
Yeah, you retain all that extra water.
Before I go to a weightlifting competition, I just run through a hive of bees. That's how you get swole.
I think you're missing a lun. Granted, you can edit this out, but you know.
He's not going to edit anything.
It's funny because it makes it harder for him, though.
As the mournful music swelled, a coked-up Mona Lisa pointed to the wreckage. Alack, the thick is that? Suddenly, 1,000 hands shot into the air from the ground, and Indiana Jones triumphantly stood up, suffering a scratch above his left eyebrows. Indy, Iron Man said. But how? Nothing is more unstoppable than 1,000 lesbians, Indiana Jones said. Indiana Jones said, saluting a pride flag in the background.
Yes!
Let's go eat shawarmas. The credits rolled, and in one final plot twist, the Avengers change their minds and go eat donairs instead.
Fuck yeah!
The donair joint they chose had a House of the Dead arcade machine. They all had a good time. The film ended when the camera zoomed in on Bob Ross, still staring at the camera from the back of the donair joint, when the screen exploded. The screening room was silent. Mickey Mouse got up and shuffled into George Lucas's view, kneeling, his unsettlingly large, realistic eyes whitened as his jaws spread and Walt Disney's face slid up his throat. I love it, Walt screamed, spitting suspension juice across George's face. I knew you had something better than Crystal Skull in you, you fat bastard. I'm going golfing. The end. No, it isn't. Suddenly, the tilapia burst out of the video player. It morphed into a hideous mass of muscular tentacles and cables. The first two shot through Mickey's head together, and Anne separated, peeling Walt's head in two with it. The next 2 minutes were akin to the climax of Akira if it were directed by Michael Bay.
Oh no, that would be so bad!
The tilapia destroyed all that was owned by Disney, essentially tearing down all of human civilization and feeding upon its participants. At the end of it all, Kermit sat unmolested, accompanied solely by the wheezing pre-corp.
I want to stop for a second. Kermit sat unmolested.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad status to be in.
Yeah.
Unmolested's good.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, no, seriously. Kermit sat unmolested.
Unaccompanied.
Accompanied solely by the wheezing pre-corpse of George Lucas, who, with his harness broken, was crushing himself under his own body weight. Damn it, Kermit thought. Elegically. I really want to donair now. The end. For real this time.
What's a donair?
It's similar to shawarma.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just some kind of shawarma.
I don't think it's in a pita, though.
It is in a pita. Or some kind of thing that is equivalent to a pita.
King of Donair, Canada's original. It's a restaurant chain established in Halifax, Nova Scotia in 1973.
Steve, we're in America, not Canada.
Ah, okay. Well,
speak for yourself.
Exactly.
You don't count.
Oh, fuck you.
No. Say it right. Man, fuck you.
Man, fuck you.
I want you to put the man, fuck you whenever I text you.
All right.
Good. All right. So that's it for tonight. Those were things.
Interesting.
Well, it was definitely a thing that existed. You know, it was nice.
Had fun. Did laugh.
That was way too Lovecraftian body horror than I was expecting. Way more.
I believe Logan is going to be sending us away with the patron list.
Oh, I'd like to thank all of our patrons, especially our genital guardians. Advent Dawn, Afrohawk, Alexander Grass Dragon Corbett, Andre D.
Read it as Kermit.
Burnitarium Dakimakura. Discuss. Disnon Plays. Dolph Shaw. Epidel. Evan Baumel. Fizz. I know it might be wrong, but I'm in love with Bambi's mom. Matthew J. Miri. Pope Sloth XVII, Richard Pryor, Rose, Sarah for the win, the son of old Swingin' Dick Hubbard, The Waffle, Tyler Anderson, Wage, YLO1, oh, Yoloy, we'll go with that.
Yoloy.
Oh, great. All right. I'm going to roll 34 to see how many images of Bambi's mom they have.
I do want to say I'm slightly disappointed that I'm no longer the last one to be read. I felt special.
There's only 7 images of Bambi's mom. Oh, those are bad. No, I'm closing that tab.
Oh, no.
No.
This is what you get. You asked for this.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanFiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Nutritious, Castles in the Sand. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.